comic fam, and welcome to another episode of the C-List Villains Podcast, your cultivators of the comic culture. We are post San Diego Comic-Con, and we're going to be talking about some of our experiences. Along with me tonight is my co-host, Red, and tonight, our guest speaker, Mr. Gene Miguel, CEO of Shortbox, and you guys better be using that app right there to be selling your comics. What's going on, fellas? How's everything?
I'm still recovering from San Diego. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, not even gonna lie. At work today, I was like, all right, I'm gonna stay up. I can do this. I do tech support at work. I'm like, all right, there's something wrong with your computer. No, I can't log in. Wait, I know there's something going on.
Everything hurts.
Everything hurts.
Everything hurts.
That hits hard.
There are photos. Man's hurt.
Oh my god. there are photos of me just out. I'm just laying on a chair. I'm done.
I believe it.
I want to fit your shirt. I see partial nipple.
Maybe I want that to happen. Maybe that's part of the plan here, there man. That's
see, this one's after dark.
Damn it.
Look, it's Skinemax here. It's, you know, sex sells here on this show. Man, Red, dude, a big, huge thanks to Red who helped out, helped get me to my very first San Diego Comic-Con. I really want to praise Red for all the work that he put into to get me there, man. Thank you so much.
That's no easy ticket.
No.
I didn't realize this was your very first San Diego ever. I wish I knew that when I saw you at the show. Big deal.
Yes, it was a big deal. You should have seen, like, the moment I walked in, Gene, I was just like, I walked through the first set of doors. I'm like, there's so many people in this first hallway and so many cosplayers. But I'm like, I want to get on the floor. I need to get on that on that dance floor and take a look and see what. I walked right in and you see Hasbro, you see Image,
nerd,
you see
nerd heaven. Boom.
It was just everything in one place. And I just could not. I can't explain to how many the two people how big this convention center is.
Six football fields.
Jeez, dude. Yeah. I've been to convention centers.
Yeah.
Like,
it's serious.
It is.
It's hard. And if you haven't been, it's hard to visualize sort of in your mind's eye just how big it is. I'm jealous that you had your very first San Diego Comic-Con experience, because obviously you can only have that experience once.
Yes, exactly.
So what a great pop this cherry.
There you go.
Yes, this guy helped pop my cherry. Man, I cried. I'm not even going to lie. I walked in and I was just like, I'm here. But I went, see, this is where I went wrong, though. Now, I shouldn't say it was where I went wrong, but anyone who's never been to San Diego Comic-Con, here's one tip from a newbie. Do not let day one be Saturday, for the love of God.
Just skip Saturday. I actually tell a lot of people, just if there's one day, you just take a break, make it Saturday, because that is the busiest day of the con.
At least spend it outside of the convention.
Yeah, the offsite events, activations, stuff like that.
Which, like, all of that is fun. The outside stuff was super dope. Like, I got us on the, I'm like, let's get, you know, we RSVP'd for the IMDb, but like, I'm a part of this, right? Apparently everybody else RSVP'd for that. And it was kind of like, got to the boat and they're like, yeah, no one's getting in. It was like 2:00 in the afternoon. We're like, well, wait a minute. Like, well, like, what's going on? They go, yeah, you see that line over there? And it went in and out. Like, oh my God. Like, Saturday, I don't want to say it's the worst day. Definitely,
it's the worst day.
Okay, like, I'm going. I don't want to say
it. It's the worst.
I mean, it's good for business, but as far as an attendee, Saturday's the worst. Right?
Yeah, it is. And then, go ahead.
I was going to say there's sort of, you know, two schools of thought when it comes to doing San Diego Comic-Con, right? You have some people that just say it's too overwhelming. There's too much stuff to do. I'm just going to go and just kind of absorb it and wing it and let the con come to me. You know, there's so many sort of serendipitous moments that pop up and you kind of just let it happen. And then you have the other half of people who are, they've got the spreadsheet, they've got the minute by minute breakdown, they've got all their RSVP confirmations in their inbox that have everything planned down to the minute. Before, we via Shortbox were setting up at the show when my co-founder Beej and I, we had been attending San Diego Comic-Con for years. And before that, I had been already attending even years longer before that. And I'm definitely in the latter half. I would have my Google spreadsheet literally planned down to the minute, exactly where I'm going to eat, when I'm going to take my breaks, what lines I need to get in, what time I need to get into those lines. I had it down. That's a little bit of my, admittedly, that's a bit of my type A personality. I had that thing just dialed.
You have to. You absolutely have. See, I've been to cons. We've been to cons here. Red and I have been to cons. I've been to cons here in the Bay. And I'm here thinking, like, the Bay Area's got some really big cons. The San Francisco Fan Expo, Silicon. Like, these are big. No. Six football fields. Literally, the section started with 100 and ended at 8,000. And yes, it is that big. It was insane. And yeah, I was like the first half of the people where I'm like, let just the con come to me. Yeah. Oh, the con came at me like Negan with that bat right to the face. It was insane. Red saw, like, I couldn't concentrate. I was so overwhelmed. I'm like, there's so many things I need to do.
It was our other group of friends that did. I wasn't there for your Depositary Cherry officially. I just, you know, I heard it from the other set of friends.
Yeah. Yeah, with Vic and with Mike. Yeah, they walk. I'm telling you, man, I cried when I walked in just because I was so happy. It was insane.
Oh, I definitely get it. I like how someone in the comments said, oh, good, I'm not the only person who cried at a con. I think everyone has probably had an experience like that at least once. If not, you should. It's a good experience. You have to speak
about the chat, man. Let's go ahead and say what's up to the chat because they're in here hanging out. Sickotron, hero. Yes, we're here, brother. Sickotron, thanks so much. Look, he's excited. Excited. There it is. Collecting with Durs, my boy Durs right there. Hello, my beautiful homies in the house. Miss So, evening, homies. Evening, Miss So. I'm glad to see you out hanging out with us again, Miss So. I love it. Brother John's in the house. What's good, brothers and sisters? I love it. And this right here, this is the guy that helped pop my cherry right there, is our boy Evil Fett Cosplay in the house, nice, hanging out with us right here. He helped me out. Big shout out to Evil Mike or Evil Fett, man. He was there to make sure, it helped take care of me to make sure that I had a good time. And this guy was fantastic. If you guys aren't following him on Instagram, please do. He's got some amazing cosplays right there. Our boy CJ Comic Journey. Good evening, gentlemen and gentlewomen and gender neutrals. I love it.
That's hard to say.
Real rude. Oh man, if you guys follow this guy right here, the boar guy right here had this massive, massive sunburn on him, man. I hope you're feeling much better there, Rude.
Battle scar.
It was insane. House of Nerd. Hey, Sergio, what's going on, brother? Thank you so much for showing up. I really appreciate it. And John Stout, what's up, y'all? I love it. Look, comic journeys. I cry at the cons when I get a good wife of the nerds. Like this guy, right? He cries at cons. I like it. Saturday is for sexy time, not for comic cons. All right. Right here, Sickotron. Oh, good. I'm not the only person who cries at a con. Yeah, brother, man. I totally was just like overwhelmed with happiness. I'll like Kevin Smith just crying at every single movie. You know,
I would love to hear from Red. Have you ever cried at a con?
Have I cried at the convention?
Yeah.
Oh,
sorry to put you on the spot. I'm just, I would love to hear.
I think my very first Comic-Con, same experience where when I walk in through the doors and like all of a sudden it's just gates of heaven just opened up and like, oh wow, there's a bunch of naked ladies just waiting for me. Well, yeah, I belong here.
Gene, so when was your first San Diego Comic-Con? Do you remember it?
Oh man, it was a long time. It was in the early aughts. I had been going for many, many years. You know, I have family down in San Diego, and back then, you were able to just walk up and just buy a day pass. And on Sunday, when the con was over, you're able just to walk up to the window and then buy your pass for the next year. It was kind of crazy. And then, you know, I think when around the Twilight phase, when that was happening, is when all the big Hollywood studios started showing up. Then it got harder and harder and harder and bigger and bigger and bigger. And so we're talking about Comic-Con right now, that is. And then it just got crazier from then.
Yeah, look, Evil Fett, 21 years ago is his. What about you, Red? I know you've been going for years with AJ. Do you remember your first San Diego Comic-Con?
Shoot, I gotta I got lucky and got a 4-day right away on my first go at it. And most of that time I spent just digging around the dollar boxes at the convention. I didn't really get to enjoy the ambiance enough because I was on the clock with AJ as far as like, well, we have to go here for exclusives. We have to go there for the exclusive. Oh, there's we got a channel. And then the only time I got to take a break was when I found the anime room before it was in the
hotel.
Yeah, in the motel. Before that, it was upstairs. Ah. It was upstairs. And so that's the only time I got to really rest and like catch a shut eye, because the whole time you were walking the floor, you were walking miles and miles a day just to get to exclusive to artist. And then it was just work to get a payout for, you know, for the day or for the weekend, you know, it's
work.
That's so funny. I thought I was the only one who used the anime room as my nap room because all the lights are off and they're just playing movies.
Yes.
And it was offset. At least when I went, it was in the Marriott Marquis next door.
Shut up,
and they would have multiple conference rooms just streaming anime. And it's just pitch black. No one is in there. And I would just go and I would just take a nap.
It's the best. Got the AC on.
Yeah.
You got barely anybody in there with you except the guy playing the DVDs. And then no one's going to bother you.
Yeah, that was like the Red's got a picture of me. That's how Red has a picture of me. I'm just like, right. It was such a terrible angle. Look, I know I'm a little chunky, but it was just a terrible angle. Just my chubbiness is hanging out. I'm hanging out on the chair and I'm passed out. Glory. Oh my God. It was so horrible. But yes, the anime room was a perfect nap room.
Yeah.
You know, not saying that anime is terrible. And to all the anime fans.
Oh, I love anime.
It's wrong. I love anime. Gene loves anime. But it was just a good way to just sit down and just catch your breath. Yeah. Man, I'm showing here. CJ Comic Journey is asking, have any of you gone to New York Comic Con? I haven't. Any of you?
Yeah, I have a few times.
Not yet.
How is there a major difference?
Without trying to start a East Coast West Coast battle, it's nothing compared to San Diego. By itself, you know, New York Comic Con is a huge con. It's awesome. You know, it's right in Manhattan. It's such a cool con. It's massive, tons and tons of people. And it would be the mother of all cons if it weren't for San Diego, that is. You know, so they're definitely different. And San Diego is still the mother of all cons. They're both good. If you have a chance, definitely go out to New York. And what's cool is that, you know, you're in Manhattan, so you're not just stuck in the convention center. You can just stay a few extra days and just hang out in New York and have a good time.
You say Death Row is better than Bad Boy.
No, we don't do that. We're not trying to kickstart that all over again. And I'd like to visit New York Comic Con one year for sure. To my understanding, it's not as extravagant as San Diego. They're not going to have all of the Marvel DC movie events. And we're going to get into that right there because I can totally tell the difference between what I've heard about Comic-Con and my first experience, because this was really comic-centric. It really was. Because you had all of the artists in one area. You had all of the comic vendors just on the other side of the toys. But I felt like there was way more comic books and comic-related items there than toys and Funko and Pops and video games. It felt like those other things kind of filled the void to let the comic books and the comic creators and artists shine this year.
I have some thoughts on that, and I'm glad you brought that up. You know, so San Diego is a huge, huge pop culture convention, right? It's called San Diego Comic Con, but you know, let's be real. It's a pop culture convention. All the major movie studios are there. You know, and a lot of people will say, oh, it's not about comics anymore. You know, why would you go? I actually beg to differ, you know, to your point. Is that there are the best dealers in the industry are all at San Diego Comic-Con. There are a lot of comic book dealers. It's just that the show floor is so big that the number of dealers gets dwarfed because it's just technically, you know, a small part of 6 football fields worth of stuff. So it makes it seem, you know, from the outside that the show doesn't have any comics or it's not about comic books. There's actually a ton of books in the room with the best dealers in the industry all in one place. It's just the space itself is massive and filled with a lot of other stuff.
They try to group them up all together in one section, but
which is good.
A few of the stragglers are on the other side by Artist Alley, but mostly on on like the B side of the I guess the convention center. That's where you'll find them.
Yeah.
So Comic Journey is asking the question, you know, because it came up, what makes San Diego better than New York? I don't want to say it's, I wouldn't say it's better because they are two different beasts, if you think about it.
They're very different. But, you know, I would say just the sheer spectacle of San Diego Comic-Con is, don't get me wrong, New York Comic-Con is a massive, massive show. It is, you know, a very, very close second to San Diego with arguably similar attendance numbers, but just the sheer scope and spectacle of San Diego is not just in the convention center. It's the entire downtown area of San Diego that is transformed into sort of like Comic-Con town, right? It's the entire Gaslamp District, all the restaurants, all the bars. There's complete hotel takeover. So it's everything outside. There's all of the offsite events. There's all of the activations and all the cool stuff to do outside of the convention center. You can actually go to San Diego Comic-Con without even having a badge. And there's going to be still so much to do. And all the events and parties and meetups and all that good stuff. There's just so much stuff going on. So that's really what I mean by just the spectacle and scope of the con is huge. And there's really anything else unlike it.
Yeah, they kicked us out of the town just to get everybody else here.
It was insane because, like what Gene said, it is a big spectacle. You know, I mean, not just the 6 football fields long comic book convention hall itself. You know, it is literally across the street from downtown, and all of downtown San Diego is a part of this. It's not just, oh, people from Comic-Con are going to come here. No, it's we're a part of Comic-Con in a sense that we're going to have drinks. You know, we're going to have food. We went to Hard Rock Cafe, not Hard Rock. We went to a restaurant on the last day, and they said that it gets so busy that they have one small menu, and they're like, this is all we're cooking because there's just too many people here. And that's how it was with many of the restaurants there. They're like, no, we have 4 burgers, 12 sides. Like, we only have a 1-page menu when they usually have like a 4 or 5-page menu. And they're like, no, it's Comic-Con centric. It's Comic-Con week. We cannot do 47 different orders of something. No, it's just this and that's it because it's just so many people. And I wasn't prepared. I wasn't. You can tell yourself, I'm going to Comic-Con. You can tell yourself, I'm going to do this. Oh, man, it's going to be a good time. I want to get this sign. I want to get that sign. I'm going to meet so-and-so. No. No, you're not. You're not going to hit everything.
You're just not. That's how I am, too. I mean, so on a personal note, you know, I collect art. You know, I like meeting artists. I love getting commissions and, you know, picking up, like, original art and all that good stuff and doing all that. And whenever we go to cons, I make sure to get, you know, a couple of them. And at San Diego, I don't even bother. It's just too crazy that you can't really get anything done.
Yeah, you know how hard it was to try to get even into Peach Momoko's line?
Oh, God.
Like the last 4 days, like, it was like you would have to beat everybody early in the morning just to get a ticket to that line.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Getting to Peach was like trying to get into Hall H. Like, it was such a spectacle. We got there like at 9:30. We got there on Sunday at 9:30, went straight to Peach Momoko's line. And they're like, oh, yeah, all tickets are sold out. They're like, do you see that line? The line where Peach was, I'm sorry, where Peach was sitting and where her line was literally probably about a half a block away. And it was against the wall that wrapped around towards that backside of the wall. It was so insane.
It looks like they, Peach and her team, they learned their lesson from New York Comic Con last year, because that was a disaster and like fights broke out and it was a mess. And so thankfully they learned the lesson. And from what I heard, it was just long and busy, but relatively under control. So which is good.
I mean, we had a super powerful friend that gave us a hand with the power of the ADA badge, you know, trying to get to the front of the line. And all of a sudden you still won't be able to get to certain things, even for signing, even to get into the Funko line, the ADA badge sometimes just can't get you there.
Yeah, the ADA badge, if you go there with someone who has that ADA access, as long as it's available, they'll be able to do it. Like, the ADA badge worked once for me. There was a line at the Square Enix set where they had all the Final Fantasy stuff. And I was like, oh my God, like, this is so dope. I was able to get a picture in front of one of the dragons, Ifrit, for anyone who knows Final Fantasy. And instead of waiting in this long line, the ADA, you know, badge actually helped. Like, I was able to get in and I was able to take a picture with in front of Ifrit. And that was the only time where I saw it work. Every other time it was, if there was no tickets available, it's a wrap. I don't care if you have ADA, you're not getting in. Is San Diego Comic-Con split level like New York Comic-Con? Now, I do know that there was two levels to San Diego, but is it on the same level?
Not really. I mean, at least the show floor is just it's just sprawling, mm-hmm. right? It just ticks a lot. I mean, obviously, when you go into the panel rooms, there's multiple floors, but, you know, the main expo hall is pretty much just the one expo hall.
Oh, it was the Hard Rock. That's where we went. It was Hard Rock. San Diego Comic-Con sounds like an absolute blast, Sergio. It was, man. It was. Look, I had fun. I had 48 hours in San Diego to experience as much of Comic-Con as I can. And there is no
Oh, that's
way.
It. You weren't even there the whole time.
No.
Oh, wow.
I landed there at 7:06 on Friday, and my plane took off at 9:45 on Sunday. 48 hours to just cram as much as I can.
You got a good taste of San Diego. Now next year you'll be more prepared and hopefully.
Oh my god, yes. It definitely prepares me for next year. It was nice because we were able to get into a couple of parties. We got into the parties with the Quinto ladies. Have you ever seen that movie Lumpia with a Vengeance, that Filipino American movie?
No, not yet.
But that was a big, I don't want to say it's big, but they had an event in downtown. We were able to get in. And the Quinto Comics ladies, they were there. And then, like, the producer and the actors were there. And then I was able to meet people there. So it was really cool if you're trying to network. Like, I was able to network and talk to people there. And that was, like, the fun part of Comic-Con for me. That was one thing that I was able to enjoy the most, was I was able to meet people, shake hands with people. Like, there's this guy, his name is Bobby Rubio, who is the director, writer, creator of that Pixar short called Float. The one about the autistic son, and he's floating in the air and the father's trying to protect him from everyone because they're looking at him weird. I met him and it was cool to talk to him about that. So like, it's a trip. You get to see people out on the streets and be able to talk to them. And that was mm-hmm. one of the best things for me. Is the party nightlife during San Diego Comic-Con as good as New York Comic-Con nightlife? I like that part of Comic-Con getaways.
Yeah, this is an easy yes. I think there's just so much going on where every day you're kind of stuck having to pick and choose, you know, which party and which event that you want to go to. And there's no lack of after hours events to go to. It's almost too many, you know, to keep track of. So yeah, it's fun.
If you don't have an actual invite to anything, just stick to the gas lamp and the parties are right there.
And the gas
lamp. You'll stumble into something.
Yes. So on Saturday night, we went to the gas lamp Lumpia factory, and that's where I met some of the people there. And then after that, Red and Mike ended up leaving, and I was there with our boy Vic, and we were just walking the gas lamp, and there was just a crowd of humans. It was a sea of humans just walking up and down in cosplay, just having a great time doing magic tricks, whatever. It was just this whole spectacle. And then we end up running into another friend who was like, hey, look, I'm going to this one spot. Why don't you just follow me? We're like, okay, that's cool. It's slightly outside the gas lamp. And we thought it was a club, but no, it was a sky lounge overlooking the convention center. Nice. And there were people there. We're having a good time. It was nice because we met up with our boy, John. John B was there. And then his friends showed up. And then the guy that I went with, some of his friends were already there. So it was cool because we ended up blending like this huge group of people in the lounge. And it was such a good time. I'm going to say, I'm going to have to say that like the nightlife in San Diego for Comic-Con, blast. Yeah. Absolute blast.
I mean, most of the nights it was mostly a sausage fest. But other than that, it was pretty fun.
But Red, stop. No, so, you can't. You
so
can't.
It was a comic, so it was a Comic-Con?
You can't say that. You cannot, because we're, hold on, I better not say that. She's probably watching. Yes, it was a sausage fest. Babe, it was all guys. I promise. It was all guys. I promise.
It was 90% dudes.
Yes.
We could definitely do better as an industry. Let's just say that. Yeah. And we should do better.
John Stout says that he was really lucky. He was able to get Todd and Jenny. That nice. And yes, that though, getting Todd, Jenny, P, like if you can. It's a successful con for anyone if you could walk out with Jenny, Todd, Peach. Oh my God! If you got Peach, you landed. How did you get an ADA badge? You're not freaking handicapped, says C. Look, CJ. All right. We have friends with superpowers.
Yeah. We're with never underestimate the power of the handicap.
We're with the DJ. I had Thursday and Friday. Yes. Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, best days to go if you have an agenda that needs to be accomplished.
Yep.
Do not do it on Saturday and Sunday. I miss so. All the video and pics you guys posted from SDCC were pretty cool. Definitely a con goal. It was. Lawrence is in the house. What's up, Gene and the C-List Villains? Lawrence Lee is the creator.
Oh, we lost his mic. We lost his mic again.
Check. One, two.
There you go.
Two.
You're back.
There. Yeah.
Technical difficulties.
Lawrence Lee is the co-creator of the comic capsule. That's what you're trying to say.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So, Gene, got to ask you. So, Shortbox was on hand there, and how was the Shortbox, you know, area for you guys? Was it a successful con for Shortboxed?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if it wasn't clear over the last few minutes, how much I just personally love San Diego Comic Con, but to be sitting up there with Shortbox is definitely a different experience versus the previous years where I was, you know, attending it as a fan. But for us, San Diego is an amazing show for, you know, a lot of reasons. The biggest one is it's the biggest industry event of the year. So to your point, you know, about just running into people and just getting good networking, it's the event where the whole industry is there, from publishers to content creators to comic book dealers and collectors, and everyone there is just it's just an amazing week to do the best networking of the year. And, you know, you make a lot of good movement, you know, sort of cross-functionally across different companies and folks from the industry. So from that perspective, it was awesome. But really for us, the best part about it is just that the community all descends on San Diego for 5 days. And it's just amazing just to see tons of our customers, almost all of the comic book dealers at San Diego Comic Con are all Shortbox sellers. I say almost because there's a couple holdouts that we're still working on, but you know, we'll get them. But for the most part, almost all of them are all dealers. And so for us, just from a business development perspective, is great. But again, the best part is just meeting the community, meeting folks in person, being able to chat with our customers and our users, and just really just have a good time and just be able to put faces to names. You know, we have so many users that, you know, just talk to us either on social or, you know, reaching out to our support team and everything there. So it's just amazing just to meet people, you know, face to face.
Yes, faces to names. That was a big thing. And it's a trip because it's not just faces to names, because for us being like the content creators on this side, there's people that we've met and we've met online, you know, through other YouTube channels, and then being able to be at events where they're actually there. It's like you're meeting a best friend again, but for the very first time. And it was just so awesome. Like your event, so Shortbox, you guys, then see, this is the cool thing about places like San Diego. Like Shortbox actually had, and they were hosting an event at a fantastic little location in downtown, and there I was able to meet people. Like a lot of people here know comics by Bueller was there, and I got to meet him and shake hands with him. I got to meet, you know, Passpoint Comics, Hood Rat Comics. Like I've seen them and chatted with them.
All great on guys, channel. By the way.
Yes, amazing guys, and I was able to finally hug. Oh my God, it was
fantastic. Yeah, if you'd allow me just to be, you know, have sort of a proud moment. You know, with like you said, we threw our party that night, and I'm super, super happy and actually very, very humbled by it, because, you know, our event was an event that we threw in partnership with CGC, and it was just amazing that our party truly felt like the center of the comic universe of San Diego Comic-Con. You know, we had all the creators there, you know, all bunch of collectors, almost all the dealers were there, folks from other companies and auction houses, and everyone involved in the comic collecting community really just came out and showed up in force for our party. So it was just awesome. So for you, you know, it's awesome to hear that it was a good networking event for you, and being able to meet people face to face. And that's really why we're there, right? It's really just to connect with the community, to foster community, just meet folks and, you know, make connections between people, even if it isn't with us. You know, we just want to make sure that we're that conduit for the industry as a whole, just to make good things happen. You put all these people in the same room, good things are going to happen. You know, that's really, you know, what we see is sort of our responsibility, you know, if you will. It's just we want to make sure that the right people meet each other and make cool things happen.
Something you did. You made
who's that? Who's that big bald guy who was like dressed? Was really huge and buff, and he looked like
You're probably thinking of Steve from Torpedo Comics.
Okay, that's why you look familiar.
Steve says boom on Instagram.
He's that dude was massive.
Yeah. He's like, he stands out.
He definitely stood out. Yeah.
Dude, what's funny is that if you have a chance to chat with him, get to him. It's just he looks very intimidating because he's this huge, you know, bodybuilder, like a literal bodybuilder, and he's just a gentle giant. He's the nicest dude.
Yes, Marcus. I don't believe that you weren't subbed here either. What is wrong? It's okay. You know what matters is that you're subbed now and you're hanging out with us tonight. My boy, circumstances in the house right here.
For E-Man's OnlyFans.
Let's not talk about hold on if you can find the OnlyFans, I'll definitely give you like a free subscription to it. so Gene, let's talk a little bit more about Shortbox. Recently Shortbox had an upgrade to, I don't want to call it an upgrade, but there was an addition to it because it's already an upgraded product, everyone should be using it, but something recently changed on Shortbox. Can you tell us about the new things that you're allowing us to sell?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the right word. You know, upgrade is the right word, where, you know, we're always shipping new features. We're always building new things. We're always listening to collectors and users and trying to figure out the actual features that buyers and sellers need. And so, yeah, we rolled out a really big update recently with a few things. So one of them is we built a portfolio, which is essentially a collection tracker or a collection management tool where you can load your books without listing for sale. Right now, it only works with graded comic books. We're going to be adding functionality for raw books soon, but for now, it's just graded comic books, but you can load them into your collection. And we're already collecting all the fair market value data, so we're able to show you the value of your portfolio. As you add more books, you'll see it change, and it does update in real time, you know, so it's not static, that the FMV number will change over time. So it's just an easy way for you to manage your graded comic book collection. And if you do want to sell them, then all you have to do is just tap a single button and just say, hey, list for sale, and suddenly you have it listed for sale on Shortbox. So, you know, that was one major feature that we launched. Another one was a price guide. So we launched a full-featured comic book price guide where you can look up and research any book just by typing it in, you know, the issue, like, you know, Hulk 181, and we'll show you all the historical sales and recent sales. We have all the sales from Shortbox, sales from eBay, Heritage, and virtually every single resource out there. You know, it's all publicly available information. And the cool thing about the price guide is it's completely free. There's no monthly subscription fee. You know, you don't have to pay, you know, the 7, 8, 9, 10 bucks a month to access it. It's a completely free tool. It's already built into the app. You don't have to use, you know, kind of like an antiquated website to access this information. It's just all at your fingertips. We have over a million recent sales tracked. And so it's a really, really powerful tool. So if anyone watching hasn't given it a chance yet, just play around with it and see if it fits your needs. And it's a pretty powerful tool. And the fact that it's completely free was super, super important to us, you know, for many reasons, because all this information is publicly available information. All of us here, you know, this is a very, you know, experienced, you know, audience watching and tuning in right now. You know, we all know how to go on eBay and look up sold listings, right, and see what books have sold for. But, you know, but not everyone does, right? Like this group probably is aware and knows how to do that. But, you know, a lot of casual collectors may not know how to do that. And again, we just really just believe in sharing information that's publicly available and just making it easy and accessible, you know, for free without gating it behind a paywall. This just not, you know, sort of philosophically where I stand personally and my co-founder as well.
And that same tool for this is super, super useful because it's not just a platform where you can just put your comics up and sell. You know, you can do that on eBay, but this platform right here also gives you the tools to really look up fair market value on the same page. I've gone into the site a couple of times, and it's fantastic because, you know, for example, let's say you're looking for an Edge of Spider-Verse number 2, the first Spider-Gwen. It's cool because it'll tell you, like, this seller right here is selling it for this amount. It's a little high, you know, compared to fair market. This seller right here, this is a fantastic deal over here. So, like, they'll color coordinate red, yellow, green to let you know, hey, look, this is actually a good deal. Buy it. This deal's okay if you really want to go for it. You know, this deal's kind of high, but if you're really wanting to get it, I understand. But just know that hey, look, we've done the research and, you know, you might want to, you know, whatever, use that information to whatever, which way you want to use it for. And that's, no one does that. Everyone's just sell, sell, sell. You actually give tips on whether it's a good time to buy or not.
Yeah. And you know, I'm glad you brought that up, by the way. You know, we spent months building, writing, and training a machine learning model to build our fair market value indicator. And so, you know, that's something that we're actually really, really proud of just from a technical perspective, because it is fairly accurate. So to your point, if a book is listed at or around fair market value, you know, we'll show a nice little sort of green dot to show you that it's priced pretty fairly. Is it a little high? Then, you know, we'll make it a yellow, but maybe it's not too high, but, you know, maybe you could submit an offer, you know, and get it for a fair deal. And then, of course, if it's a really premium price, you know, we'll let you know. And we'll say, hey, this is, you know, with a red dot to show you that I might be a little hot, you know, in terms of the price. But again, you might think a lot of sellers would hate that, but nobody wins, because if a seller prices a book for double, you know, fair market value, they're not going to get any offers, they're not going to get any sales, and no one's even going to bother. And so a lot of it is just making sure this information is available to everyone, to both sides, both buyers and sellers, because it allows books to get sold and allows people to not get ripped off as well. So again, it's just access to information and creating a level playing field. So yeah, it's a pretty powerful tool. And again, something we're super proud that we built.
Once the notification is out and whoever has been looking for that book gets that notification, it's pretty much a free for all for everybody else to grab that book before.
It works on me.
Yeah. Man, I wanted.
That's why I know it's a good feature, is because I use it myself, and you know that's kind of the beauty of at least interning with our team. You guys might not know this, but you know every single person, every single employee, you know at Shortbox is a comic book collector. Every single one, including our entire engineering team, everyone is a collector, and so you know it makes it really easy for us to build the features that we want to exist, because you know we're building for ourselves. You know, we're building features that we want to exist because we're collectors ourselves. And so, you know, it's very easy for us to, one, understand, you know, collectors and users, because that's us as well. So, it you know, it just allows us to have fun and just, you know, sort of play in the sandbox and build cool features that we think collectors will love.
I think we can use the acronym very well here now. Anybody remember FUBU back in the 90s? For us, by us. I think that's us now. I think we can FUBU this right here, because this is a platform made by comic book, you know, collectors for comic book collectors. I love that.
Does FUBU still make clothes? Maybe we could do a like a streetwear collab with Shortbox and FUBU.
And if they're not, you know, you can resurrect it. I get 10% of, because this is my idea, but I mean, go for it. I mean, that would be awesome right there. For us, by us.
That'd be amazing.
Oh my God. Gene, I want this just came to my head. I want to know, I want to prepare you right here. It's a little bit of a touchy subject here.
Yeah.
AI.
Mm-hmm.
All right. If it's used to replace, you know, I'm not for it personally. You know, like if someone creates a comic book and they use AI to create a whole whatever, and, you know, taking all the images online, you know, I'm not for that. But I'm all for using AI as a tool to enhance or help, you know, certain situations for whatever reason. You're stuck with a problem, use AI to kind of, you know, help you out with it. What have you guys given any thought to using AI within Shortbox to help collect information, like what you were talking about earlier, you know, fair market value, making sure these books are legit, things like that? Has that crossed your mind? I just thought about it right now.
Yeah, no, it's a great question, and thanks for asking. Short answer is yes, absolutely. We think about it daily. Both myself and BJ and our engineering team and our head of product, we're all technologists, and you know, we're sort of naturally optimistic technologists. So there is a place for AI within the comic book industry. And I do tend to agree with you that, you know, I think creators should not have their work, you know, basically stolen and repurposed without proper compensation and attribution at the very least. Now, you know, I don't think it's fair to bucket AI as something bad, like this evil villain, because there are plenty of ways that AI can be used very intelligently and very efficiently within comic books specifically, right? So you're asking, how do we use it or how do we think about AI? There's a lot of ways that we can do it. The first place is our fair market value algorithm is a machine learning model that updates and collects data and analyzes data in real time, and it is a true learning model that's accurate to the minute. You know, so that's something that we're already actively doing. Another interesting way that you can use AI, and this may be somewhat controversial, is in grading. You know, this is something that you know we get asked about frequently: is can AI learn to grade comic books? This is a really long conversation. You could probably do a whole show about this, but you know, obviously it's very complicated. But you would need millions and millions and millions of data points and millions of examples of various grade ranges, and you would have to build, you know, very, very complicated machine learning model just to train it to get there. I don't think it could replace a human being able to grade page by page. It's also just the logistics of a machine having to physically turn pages, just not worth it. But you can use it as a tool to assist in the process, you know, by scanning, you know, the front cover and the back cover. So there is opportunity to do that. Also, just for pure information and research within comic books, you know, think of all the information that is on the CGC census and the CBCS census and all the metadata that exists out there, and being able to train a ChatGPT style model to just query this sort of comic overlord to ask it whatever you want about comic books. Be like, hey, you know, what was the 14th appearance of Black Widow? You know, and just have it, you know, yeah, query the model and figure that out for you. And the challenge there is that all this information exists sort of out in the ether, but there really is no sort of structured database of all the information about comic books ever. And that is something that we are actively working on internally, just sort of like a fun Skunk Works project that we always kind of have brewing, you know, in the background. So there's lots of opportunity to use AI in space responsibly, of course.
There's no database like that yet until you guys get to it. And then as going back to finding the first appearance of something, I ran into a comic strip earlier with just a screenshot of a She-Hulk and the Hulk in bed together. So I was searching for that first.
Of course you would.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
of course you would.
First time the cousins have bump uglies, and why?
See, this is why we can't have Red using tools like this. Gene, like we just can't. Red, stop.
Hey, one thing you guys have to know, like, hey. Red.
No, stop it. Red, stop.
Why did you ever want to sleep with Bruce Banner? Why? Why? We all want to know.
So, Gene, we got Lawrence here who's asking, you know, do we think that we're pricing comic books a little bit too high for the young kids?
Like, yes, is this an easy yes.
Easy, absolutely. Yes? Yeah.
Go ahead. Whatever, inflation, yada, yada, you know, who cares? Comic books are too expensive for kids to actually be able to afford them. Full-grown adults with salaries can barely afford their pull list today because books are, I mean, some books are like $7.99 each, like the square bound ones. It's crazy. You know, at the very least, they're $3.99, $4.99. So, you know, imagine a kid with just his weekly allowance. It's not conducive to encouraging kids to pick up collecting or, you know, more importantly, pick up comic books to learn how to read. You know, I tell people all the time that comic books or a gateway drug to reading, you know, for young kids who are learning how to read. That's actually how I learned how to read, or how I learned to like reading, you know, was through comic books. And, you know, if you price them too high, they're just far too expensive. And, you know, I'm a huge proponent of putting comic books in kids' hands. You know, these are characters that were written and created to entertain children. And obviously we're adults, and you know, we grew up with these characters, so we grew up with them. You know, there's a certain nostalgia factor to it. And sure, there's obviously a time and place for more mature, you know, comic books that are more adult oriented, but it's so important that kids be able to go to their comic shop and pick up a book and read it. But you know, the interesting thing here is that, with that said, you know, this current generation of kids who are into these characters, they're not discovering these characters through comic books, because you know, they're not. For example, us here in this room, or I'm sure a lot of people in chat, you know, probably grew up being able to buy a comic book at the grocery store or the pharmacy, you know, your neighborhood shop, being able to buy it off the rack. That's just not the case. Yeah, exactly. That's just not the case with kids today. But they still have so much love for these characters, but it's because they're discovering them through movies, TV, cartoons, video game, fashion, and music. It's literally every other type of popular media except comic books. So, you know, again, there's it's a double-edged sword where you can say, well, maybe, you know, kids don't need to be reading comic books because they're learning about these characters through other forms of media. And you can also make the case that, hey, you know, they're not reading comic books and, you know, they should be. So, you know, there's always two sides to it. And, you know, we could have both, I think, personally. Yeah, I think it's just as important.
They're reading through digital media through the subscription through Marvel or DC, and then they get, at least they have a cheaper price point with that when they're just trying to read. When it comes down to collecting, it's definitely has gone to the adults instead of the kids. So we're definitely, I think, as adults, I think we're at fault for that, for making this shit inflate in pricing, because as adults have that money and they don't.
Yeah, I would also say, you know, I would say go to your local comic shop and I would actually ask them, you know, what types of books sell the most or the easiest. And I would bet a lot of them will say the kid stuff from the kid friendly section. I've chatted personally with a lot of comic book shop owners, and it's the kids section that's literally keeping the lights on. You know, that's something that they can rely on. And yet it makes up a tiny corner of the shop. And they say that's what keeps the, you know, keeps the lights on every month. You know, publishers and shops and distribution, everything should be geared towards getting these books in kids' hands. You know, when new superhero themed movies are coming out, why isn't there a publisher sponsored or a local comic book shop sponsored comic book stand in the theater lobby, you know, to promote these books like, to the kids? Like, why don't they get them in front of them if that's where they're you know, learning about them from? There's so many things that we should be doing that we could have been doing. When I say we, I mean the industry as a whole, you know, over the past 10, 15 years. And I think there's just a massive missed opportunity there.
That's actually brilliant right there.
Day should be every day.
Yeah. In one way or another. In one way or another. Definitely. Yeah. Because my pull list, like when I was going in weekly, I was spending anywhere from $60 to $80 a week on all the comics that I was getting. And that's, you know, 10 to 16, 17 comics that I was getting. And yeah, that's excessive, but you know, I know I can afford it. But I know my stepson, right, who's trying to get into comics, like he can't, you know, I can't buy him $60 worth of comics every week. No way, right? But he saves his little pennies and he's like, all right, I want to learn to read comics. I want to know what's going on. And I taught him, like, look, stick with one story for now. Pick one character and stick with him. Right, you're gonna find out eventually, especially if it's a DC and or a Marvel comic, you're gonna see that there's other heroes that branch out into their story. And if you're interested enough, yeah, let's go ahead and explore Green Lantern if they show up in The Flash, you know, or we'll look into Black Cat when she shows up in Spider-Man, something like that, you know. And that's a good way to kind of get them going. But I did tell him, like, look, pick one to two stories.
Here's the other interesting thing. Sorry to interrupt you. Just because you made me think about it, is digital comics, you know, I think are completely viable. You know, however controversial that may seem, I think there is a place for digital comics as well, especially just in terms of access to, you know, a virtually limitless library of books. You know, when a brand new comic book off the rack is $4.99, you know, kids don't have jobs. They can't afford that, you know, versus, you know, a monthly subscription to DC or Marvel sort of unlimited is what, I don't know, $10 a month, something like that, $70 for the year. And then you have access to almost pretty much a limitless, you know, library of books. And so that's another sort of viable option there. Except again, you need, you know, a $500 iPad to absorb the content.
Well, there's always boxes.
They can always use their school Chromebook too. I mean, you can definitely try that. And that's actually a very good way to look at it right there, you know, because, you know, I know I don't have an extensive knowledge of comics going back with DC and Marvel. But yeah, these online, you know, subscriptions, digital, if you're in it to read back issues without spending the money on all the trades, okay, I get that. I'm all for still getting brand new comics. I'm all for getting physical copies. But if I want to read a story about, you know, like I hear, for example, Death in the Family in DC, you know, right? When one of the Robins died, it's hard to get that at a reasonable price. And I don't want to get the trade. You know, if I do the subscription to this digital service, at least I can go back and read it to get the knowledge and pick up the knowledge. And that's, you know, goes the same for the kids. If the kids are like, I want to read a little bit more about Spider-Man, well, don't jump on the current Spider-Man run because I hear they're not that good. But at least with the digital service, I can bring, you know, my stepson back and say, hey, look, read, you know, read the Dan Slott Spider-Mans or read, you know, oh, let me introduce you to when the first, you know, Venom first came out. Things like that, at least he knows. And I think that's the benefit to these subscription services.
And with that said, I do still have a weekly pull-ups and I read digital. And for me personally, a lot of it is just making sure that I'm still supporting local comic shops. That's really just, you know, also just as important, because, you know, without them, then we've got nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Are we hinting at having this kind of feature within the Shortbox app as well? Since the app itself is in dealing with encapsulated comics, why not offer a digital copy while you're placing that comic into Shortbox?
Yeah. Oh, that's a great idea. You know, it is something that's, you know, come across the table multiple times. And the more interesting thing about that is that it's possible, right? That's definitely something that's in the realm of possibility, especially when you start thinking about digital comic books and NFTs, even, you know, like being able to buy a graded comic book and mint an NFT as proof of ownership. You know, that now we're opening up a whole can of worms with that one. But, you know, pretty much a lot of this stuff is doable, you know, and I would say, you know, like we're as a platform, there's almost an unlimited number of paths that we can go. But ultimately, we're going to choose whatever features we think are good for the hobby and that collectors actually want, while pushing the industry forward, right, and continuing to innovate and continuing to do, you know, more things. Because I mean, we all know it's not no surprise and it's not controversial to say that this industry is very old school, and, you know, it hasn't really moved forward in 20-30 years. There's just been a severe lack of innovation in the space. And so for us, again, myself, my co-founder BJ, just being technologists ourselves, you know, we were really frustrated at the lack of pace of innovation in the space, and we really just decided that we needed to enter the space ourselves and do something about it, just because we have such a love, you know, for this hobby and for this industry and just for this medium. And so, you know, really it's doing whatever we can to just sort of usher things forward, and whether that's going digitally, using AI, you know, what, you know, X, Y, or Z, or whatever it is, you know, we'll make sure that we continue to sort of push the envelope, and at the same time doing it respectfully and in a way that, you know, actually ushers the industry forward.
Are we going to see, we got a question going back here. Are we going to see Shortbox at New York Comic Con this year?
I wish. We're actually skipping it this year.
Okay.
Yeah, we did it. We did it last year. Although I think myself and a couple other folks will likely just be traveling out and attending, you know, just for meetings, and, you know, we'll probably host like a meetup or something and just meeting with some of our dealers. But it is, for those of you who don't know, we're based on the West Coast. We're based in San Francisco, and it is a brutal trip to travel from the West Coast to the East Coast, because not only do you lose 2 days, you also jump forward in time by 3 hours. And it's the opportunity cost of us attending a show like New York Comic Con is high, because we have to pull off, you know, a few folks from the team for essentially a week and a half. That's a week and a half where we're not shipping new features, where we're not taking care of our customers. And so, you know, that was really part of the decision making process, where we had to choose between, you know, New York Comic Con and San Diego. And obviously San Diego's same time zone. Hour flight away from San Francisco, so it's definitely much more convenient. But I think, you know, New York Comic Con is an amazing show, and we definitely want to do it again. We'll likely do it next year. You know, this may be sort of an every other year type of thing.
Oh, see, that would work. I guess that would be fair, because, you know, it covers the customers on both sides of the coast. You have, you know, your East Coast and your West Coast customers. Yeah.
I will say, though, for just pure comics, you know, especially, you know, I think, you know, everyone watching right now and people who will be watching this later, just for pure comics, the two East Coast shows that, you know, I hate saying the word should, but I'm going to say the two East Coast shows that you should be going to are Baltimore Comic Con and Heroes Con in Charlotte, North Carolina. Those are the two best shows on the East Coast for comics. They are pure comic book shows. They're big comic shows, nothing but comic book dealers and artists. And those are two amazing shows. And we do both of those shows every year. And those are on the East Coast. So that just shows you how good they are, you know, if we're making the trek out at least for those and skipping New York Comic Con.
This year, Shortbox hosted their own con. You guys had Shortbox Live, and that was a fantastic show also, because that too was pure comics. Can you tell us a little bit about what you did, and can you tell us about what's going to happen for years to come regarding that?
Yeah, you know, honestly, that was another reason why, you know, we cut a few shows off the calendar this year, because we wanted to do our own show. You know, we wanted to invest in our own comic book convention, just the same way that, you know, we want to continue pushing innovation and pushing the envelope forward, you know, in this industry, that still applies to in-person comic shows as well. I think there's still a very important place for in-person conventions, you know, within the industry. You know, everyone will always say, oh, you can just shop online using apps like Shortbox, of course, you know, but, you know, I think it's so important to have comic conventions still. But again, I think we're reverting back to sort of the old school where comic book collectors just only want to see comic book dealers and comic book artists, right? You know, like San Diego Comic-Con is great for everything else plus comics. Some of us just want to see just purely comics, but I think there still needs to be some changes made with comic book shows, because old school comic book show, to me, is not necessarily a good thing, because, you know, I think when someone says old school comic book show, you think of like a dingy like Holiday Inn basement that's just like disgusting, or you think of just like a rented out senior center or like high school gymnasium. Like, that's truly old school. But what's good about old school shows is that it's just comic book dealers, it's just comic book artists. But for some reason, you know, event organizers have yet to sort of like elevate and sort of push the con experience forward. And what's interesting here is that, you know, when a lot of people go to these big cons, you know, it costs a lot of money to travel to shows, you know, your hotel, your flight, setting up and all that good stuff. We all know how to find books. There's so many places to buy books, you know, sort of online on eBay, on Shortbox, on other platforms as well. And, you know, I would say that going to a comic book convention purely for commerce, purely for shopping and buying and trading comic books is not, you know, sort of like the future of the comic book convention, because, you know, everyone knows where to find books. Almost every single dealer that sets out of a con, hey, they also list their books on Shortbox and eBay and other platforms as well. You don't have to go to a con to buy comics. Sure, there's a time, it's nice to be able to see a book and inspect it in person and, you know, get that instant gratification. But I think that comic book conventions need to evolve a bit and include more of a community aspect. You know, that's why we put on Shortbox Live, because we wanted it to be conducive to networking, conducive to meeting other collectors. Even from the way that we set up the room, we put all the dealers in the same room, we put all of the artists in one room, we put the main stage all in the same room, because we want just to create this awesome activity of stuff happening where people can just watch content creators, watch speakers on the main stage while like digging through comics, while talking to an artist. Something as simple as just putting empty tables in the middle of the room, you know, where people could just sit and have just sort of natural serendipitous conversations with other people, and just really fostering community at shows, you know. And I think, you know, shows need to go, you know, lead towards that direction instead of just a pure, you know, sort of just, you know, commerce sort of marketplace play. Because again, like, we all know where to find books, you know, we all know how to buy and sell. But the best part of going to a con is meeting people in person, meeting folks that you're friends with on YouTube and on Instagram and, you know, in Facebook groups and all that good stuff. And so I think conventions need to level up a little bit and invest a little bit more into helping facilitate those in-person, you know, conversations.
Are you going to have two Shortbox Lives in the year, or are you looking at maybe having one for NorCal, one for SoCal?
Yeah, no. So right now, well, we just did our first one. We're definitely doing it again next year. So we're going to do another show in May in Santa Clara again next year. And, you know, we're getting so much support to do an East Coast version of the show. So maybe it's an East Coast version and a West Coast version. You know, we had a lot of folks come up from SoCal for the show, you know, which is awesome to see. A lot of people flew up for the weekend. And so, you know, anyone watching, you know, if they're looking for a con to go to, we specifically put it in May because it's after WonderCon, which is, you know, mm-hmm. down in Southern California, and before HeroesCon, which is in June. Mm-hmm. And so there's just sort of nice gap in the middle, you know, right when summer's kicking off. So it's a good place to be.
It's right after, you know, there's no football going on.
Exactly.
There's, you know what, though? This is kind of smart, because, like, at the Santa Clara Convention Center, it's almost right across the street from an amusement park called Great America, for those who don't know. And that's a good way to bring in some of that crowd. Like, hey, there's a convention going on in that direction. Right. Let's go ahead and bring those people in right there. So is it official that we're doing another one in May?
It will be. The ink hasn't dried yet, but yeah, we will be doing another one next year. So nice. As soon as we have that all locked down, we'll be announcing it.
Red, don't bring up, are we going to do NorCal, SoCal? They already have San Diego and WonderCon. Don't let them take another one away from us. No. This stays in the Bay.
Hey, technically, SoCal took WonderCon from Northern California.
Yeah. So we don't need any more. No, Gene's from the Bay. He's going to keep it in the Bay. That's Bay centric right there.
Well, good. At least Dropbox Live can replace Silicon Valley Comic Con, since they're going to have one this year.
Oh yes, there's. Look, let's not speak ill about Silicon. Let's not speak ill. But they did something. They had a lot of nerds come out. It was a combination of like science and comic book nerds. I respected Silicon. Unfortunately, it didn't go through. Well, Gene, you know we're at that time right there. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate you coming by and talking San Diego Comic Con, the future of Shortbox, and what we can expect from everyone. You know, from everyone in the team. Do us a favor, let us know how people can find you on the social medias and Shortboxed.
Yeah, thanks guys, this is awesome. I love chatting with you guys, you know, so thanks for having me back on the show. We're pretty easy to find online. You can just follow us on Instagram. It's just Shortboxed across all social media. Obviously you can download the app for free on iOS and Android. One thing I forgot to mention also is that we recently added the ability to sell raw books on the platform as well. So now Shortbox is a platform for both graded and raw comics. And so you can get your whole fix, you know, there. And again, I'm easy to reach. I love chatting and connecting with people from the community. If anyone wants to reach out and have a chat or ask me any questions, you're welcome to email me. My email is just Gene, G-E-N-E, at shortbox.com. So if anyone's out there, you know, feel free to connect and shoot me a note. Happy to chat.
Love it. Thank you so much, Gene. Red, let everyone know how they can find you on the socials.
Oh, yeah. I'm here most of the time. Every Tuesday with this guy and two of the other friends. You'll find me at the next convention and aisle 6 at Walmart looking at toys.
And go ahead and plug that OnlyFans that you had.
Oh, yeah. Red sucks toes at OnlyFans.
I should not have let him do that.
Don't set me up for me to slam it down, buddy.
That was my fault. I should not have done that. And of course, you can find me here every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time with Red, AJ, and Luke, and our guest, talking, you know, comic book community and pop culture and whatnot here on the C-List of Villains podcast. Also, find me on my socials, Eman's World of Geek, on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok, where I post nonsense and fun stuff too about like what I've done over the weekend. So make sure you follow all of us on the social medias. Red, I love you, bro. Good job. Gene, once again, thank you so much for joining us this evening. And I hope to see you again in a future con, my friend. Thanks to everyone in the chat.
Or just run into him in the Bay.
What was that?
At least run into Gene in the Bay.
That's right. At least I could run into Gene in the Bay. And before I let everyone go, please make sure to like, subscribe this. You know, hit that like button. It helps us out with the YouTube algorithm. It helps us grow and gets this podcast out in front of everyone else's eyes who likes comic books and podcasts, you guys. All right. That's it for tonight. Until the next issue, talk to you guys later. Peace.
Thanks again for listening to another episode of the C-List Villains podcast. Your cultivators of the comic culture. Make sure you follow us on Facebook and email us at clistvillains@gmail.com. You can also leave us a voicemail or text us at 209-975-7597. Be sure to join Luke Week's Facebook group, Rare Keys and First Appearance Comics. And you can follow us on our two Instagram accounts, clistvillains.